Lemonade, The Escape from Poland. This is part two, entitled A Mother's Sacrifice. And once again, here is Dr. K. Kuzma.
The story started out with Yannick's daddy, William, and then William met Elizabeth, and they had four children. Now, who can remember the four children's names? Now, that's going to be hard, because we haven't used all the names. Can you remember? The oldest daughter was Donna. Very good. And the next one down was Christine. Oh, you kids listen so beautifully. And then came Yannick. And finally, 8 years later, there was baby George. And they were living in Płock, Poland, when suddenly, or one day, they heard the dog start barking. And what was happening when they heard the dog start barking? What were the dogs hearing that the people couldn't hear? The artillery shots. They were hearing those high sounds. And then word came that they had to leave town. So Mom thought they were just leaving like for a picnic, headed off to the train station, down to another town, and they stayed there for just a few days, and then what happened again? They said they had to leave again, right? And what was the army that was pushing the German army back through Poland? The Russian army was pushing the German army. Oh, you kids listen so well. And what is the name of the story? Oh, you even know that. Incredible. Okay. So here we have the word spread now in this other little city where they were that everybody in the whole city must get on the train again and leave. And so everybody was grabbing their suitcases and running toward the train because they knew if they didn't get on the train that the terrible Russian army was pushing the German army back through Poland and it would catch up to this town. And if anybody was left behind, they told terrible, awful, horrible, terrible stories about what those barbarian soldiers would do to people if they wanted gold. Remember all those awful things, and the kids were scared, and they were running to the train, and suddenly Mommy said, what? What did Mommy say? I don't think we should get on the train. Now, how many thinks that that's a really a smart idea, to stay behind when everybody else gets on the train? It doesn't sound like a very smart idea, really, does it? Well, today you'll find out if it was a smart idea or not. So there's Mommy and Donna and Christine and Yannick and baby George standing beside the highway. And they see the train leaving town. Everybody in the whole town is on that train. And there they are. They chose not to go on that train. And after the train pulls out of town, Mommy says, now what does she say? I think we ought to leave town. And the kids say, Mom, but the train just left. The only way out of town. It's gone. Why didn't you decide that half an hour earlier so we could have gotten on the train? Well, said Mother, I just didn't feel like we should get on that train. I just had this impression that we shouldn't get on the train. Well, said the kids, what are we going to do now? Everybody has left and we're all alone. And those terrible Russian soldiers are pushing the German soldiers back. Mother, we're scared. So Mom said, well, why don't we just stand here next to the highway and just see if anybody comes by and maybe they can take us to safety. And they stood there for a while, and there in the distance, there was a jeep, and then another jeep, and another jeep. It was a caravan of German officers who were trying to escape before the war front. As the war front was being pushed down, they were trying to get out of the way because they didn't want to be captured by those horrible, awful Russian soldiers. And so the first Jeep went by, and oh, the kids were hoping maybe we can catch a ride. But the first Jeep was filled to capacity. There were so many people crowded in the Jeep. These German soldiers didn't want to get caught, and so they were heading off. And the next Jeep went by, and that Jeep was full too. And the next one, but that one was full too. And every Jeep was full, overcrowded with people. Now the kids said, what are we going to do? And Mommy said, let's keep praying. God has a way to help us. He will never leave us. Let's just pray. And they began praying and watching all that caravan of Jeeps go by. And finally, they saw the last Jeep of the caravan. And as it came closer and closer and closer, suddenly they realized there was nobody sitting in the back seat of that Jeep. And they got out on the road and they waved their hands, and the officer that was in that Jeep, driving that Jeep, he stopped and he said yes, they could get in. And they piled in that Jeep with all their things and headed off to safety. They went on down the road with the caravan, and finally they stopped at another town. And this seemed like it was far enough away from the war front. No way would the war front come into this town. So Mother thanked the man that had taken them, and they got out in a strange place, having no idea where to go. Everybody was kind of in chaos in this city, because so many people from the war front had come into the city trying to find places to stay, and others had left. It wasn't an organized community now, and there were empty houses, because some of the people were scared to stay around and they had left. So Jan's mother decided that they would go into a basement area of an apartment and stay. But the refrigerator for the apartment house was up above, and they kept all of their food up there. But at night, it wasn't safe to be up above, because if any of the soldiers around would see those lights up there, they might shoot at them. And so every night they would go down into the basement, and day after day after day went by like that. Then one day, the dog started howling again. What did that mean? The artillery shots were in the distance, but the people couldn't hear it yet. And pretty soon they could hear the shots. The war front was moving closer and closer to this city. How could it be? They thought they were safe, and once again, it was coming to them. This time, instead of the officials of the town saying, everybody must get on the train and leave, they said, now you have a choice. They realized that pretty soon the army was just going to catch up, and it was probably not, they couldn't move everybody in the whole country. And so they said, whoever wants to can get on the train and leave town. Well, the interesting thing is, they heard that the train that Mother didn't take, that everybody else in that whole other town took, that train was bombed, and almost everybody was killed on that train. But for some reason, Jesus impressed that mother to not go on that train, even though it seemed like the right thing to do. Don't go on that train. Now the children were anxiously waiting to see what Mother would say. Should they go on the train, or would they have to stay behind? And it was so scary to stay behind. Mom, what are we going to do? Well, said Mother, I don't know where Daddy is, but I have a feeling every time we move that we get further away from where Daddy probably is. And I'm afraid we'll never find him unless we stay put. So most of the people in the town got on the trains and they left. The dogs were howling. They could begin to hear the artillery shells, and they knew that that night the army would break into that town and overtake that town. Unless something happened, that the German soldiers again drove the Russian soldiers back away, but it didn't look like it. It looked like the German army was losing. So, Mommy told the children, "Children, it's very important tonight that nobody go upstairs. Nobody turn on a light, because the apartment building we're in is facing the war front. And if those Russian soldiers would happen to see a light in any of the buildings, chances are they would think there would be German soldiers in those buildings. So don't go upstairs, don't turn on a light, keep the shades drawn, and we'll wait and see what happens." The kids were all praying, all except baby George. And he got hungry. And he started to cry. And he cried and he cried and he cried. So finally, Christine and Yannick said, "Mommy, please, let us go upstairs and get some milk for baby George." "Well," said Mommy, "be very careful. And don't turn on any lights. Pull down the shade, don't turn on any lights, and go up and get some milk for baby George." So Christine took baby George, and they went up the stairs of the apartment house, around one landing, and up the next landing, and up the next landing, and up the next landing, way to the very top, where the refrigerator was that had the milk and the food for baby George. It was kind of scary, because nobody was around, and everything was so quiet, and it was so dark they could hardly see. Yannick went right away over to the windows and pulled all the shades, and Christine pulled another shade, and they went to the refrigerator, opened the refrigerator, took out some milk, and they poured it into a little skillet, like a little pan, a little pot, a little saucepan. And Jan noticed that, or Yannick noticed that it was so cold. If they could only warm it a little bit. And so he got an idea. He wouldn't turn on any lights or anything like that, because Mommy had warned him. But he got an idea that maybe if he had just light a candle, then he could warm that milk up a little bit before giving it to baby George. So he struck a match, and he lit the candle, and he was standing there trying to warm the milk up for baby George. And suddenly there was a terrible explosion. The windows were just blown out. Yannick, baby George, and Christine were thrown to the ground with a blast that hit that building. Everything was shaking, and Yannick and Christine were scared to death, and baby George began to scream. And finally, after all the noise faded away, everything was still once again. Those kids got up so fast off the floor, grabbed baby George, forgot about the milk, and they went down those stairs faster than you can imagine, down all the way down to the bottom, and hid in the basement. The next day, they found out that the Russian army had seen the little candle light, probably flickering. Past the shade, they saw just enough light to figure somebody was there. So they aimed the gun, and they shot. But the Polish people have a saying that man may shoot the bullet, but God can determine the destination. And somehow that big artillery shell, instead of hitting the apartment building where the children were and the family was, it went just barely over the top of that building and hit the apartment building next door and leveled it to the ground. That night, after that terrible explosion, the kids were very quiet. All except baby George, but they tried to keep him quiet too. And as they were waiting, wondering what was going to happen, when were the soldiers going to come into town, they could hear a movement outside the window. They were in the basement, so it was right next to them. And they could hear that the German soldiers were right outside, and they were quickly trying to change clothes out of their uniforms and into civilian clothing. So if they got caught, they wouldn't get taken into they wouldn't be prisoners of war. They would hopefully be looked at as civilians. They were changing their clothes, and during the night, the Russian army, with some of the Polish people that were fighting with the Russian army to fight to get the Germans out of their country, they moved into town. Those terrible, awful, horrible, barbarian soldiers. But the next morning, when Jan got up, it was kind of exciting. When you're only 8 or 9 years old, and all the doors of the stores were wide open. People had left, gotten on the train, knew they would probably never return. There was no system to deliver things from one area to another area, and all the doors were left open on all these stores. So the people that were left behind could go into a store, and if they needed some beans or some flour or some sugar or some things like that, they could just go help themselves until society got put back to order again, and they had people selling things and providing the stores with goods. And Jan remembers, that was so fun. That was so exciting to go into a store and knowing that now, let's see, the family, after all, I am the man of the family, maybe they need some beans or maybe they need some flour. And he would load everything up on a little wagon and take it back to the apartment house where his family was staying. Now, he did notice that there were once in a while somebody that didn't quite make it through the war as he went out into the outskirts of town. But, you know, he doesn't remember those gory things. He remembers how much fun it was to have all the stores open and to be able to take care of the family. After a number of days, they realized that the family needed fresh produce, things like milk and eggs and cheese and things like that. Well, Yannick decided to go and get himself a job at 9 years of age. You see, there were these Polish soldiers that had come into town with the Russian soldiers, and they noticed that there were a lot of German Fräuleins around. Do you know what that means? Young girls. And the Polish soldiers thought these were very good-looking girls. And they thought it would sure be nice if they could talk to these girls. But they all spoke Polish, and the girls all spoke German. Well, it so happened that Yannick spoke Polish, and he had gone to a German school for the last 4 years, and he also could speak German. So they had this little 9-year-old kid come over to translate so they could get introduced to the girls. And he would translate back and forth and back and forth, and until they got well enough acquainted that they didn't need Yannick. And for his services, they gave the family milk and eggs and cheese and things like that. And that's the way the family lived for a number of weeks. And then society began to be put back in order again, and stores opened, and Yannick's mother decided that she should start a business. Oh, she was such a good businesswoman. Her head could just figure out how to make money. Now, she was German by birth. She had married a Polish man, So she understood both the Polish people and the German people. And when the war front first, at the very beginning of the war, when the Germans overcame the Polish people, the Germans said, if they wanted this, they said, thank you, I'm going to take it. We're the victors. You've lost the war. And they just took whatever they wanted. Now, the tables were turned. The German people wanted to leave that area because they were the losers. They wanted to go back toward Germany. And the Polish people said, wait a minute, you took things from us. Now we will just take things from you. Well, Jan's mother, being German, but understanding the Polish people and really being Polish by citizenship and by marriage and citizenship, she decided that she would start a business. Why? She would buy things from the German people who wanted quickly to sell their things so they could leave. She would buy things for a pretty good price. Then she would mark them up a little bit. And she would sell them to the Polish people who wanted these things. And before you knew it, oh, their house was filled with all, this apartment was filled with all kinds of things. I mean, there were beautiful tablecloths and silver and china and gorgeous clothes, and there were watches and all these gorgeous, beautiful things all over their house. And Jan's mother was making lots of money. And then something happened. Late one afternoon, there was a knock on the door. Yannick's mother opened the door, and sure enough, it was the Inkavo Day, the secret police from the Polish secret police. And they said, we have come to search your house for 40 army coats. We heard you have stolen 40 army coats. Oh, no, said Yannick's mother. I haven't done anything like that. Well, we heard that you did, so we have come with a search warrant to search your house. Well, Yannick's mother had heard so many terrible things about these soldiers, the secret police, that she allowed these two men to come in. And they looked all over, and they looked at everything. And she could tell they were surprised that there were so many things there. But she noticed that one of the soldiers kept looking at her wristwatch. She tried to hide it, but he kept looking. Finally, after they searched all over, and of course didn't find any army coats, they left. Oh, everybody was so happy to see them go. The sun went down. It was bedtime. And Jan's mother heard a knock on the door. This time she was really frightened. She began to pray because she had a feeling who might be at the door. Before opening that door, she quickly took off her watch and she hid it because this was the special watch that her husband had given her for a wedding present. It was a very, very expensive watch. And she didn't even know where he was. She didn't know if he was alive or dead. And she didn't want to give up the only thing that she had left that really meant something to her from her husband. So she hid the watch. And then she put on another watch. And after a while, after everything was hidden and the new watch was on, she went to the door and she opened it. And it was that secret policeman who had noticed the watch. He pushed his way into the house as soon as she unlocked the door. And he immediately said, you know, he was Russian, so he couldn't speak Polish. He was in the secret police, but he noticed, he pointed to the watch. Now, she couldn't speak to him. She didn't know the language, but she knew what he wanted, the watch. So she took off the cheap watch that she had put on her arm, and she gave it to him. And he shook his head. He knew it wasn't the watch that he had seen before. And she said, well, maybe she could find another watch. She kind of motioned to him. So she went over and she found another watch and had him look at it. And he once more shook his head. Well, maybe this watch. And she gave him another watch. But he continued to shake his head. That wasn't the right watch. And he began to get angry. Now, they had heard all kinds of stories about what these soldiers might do if they wanted something. But Yannick's mother did not want to give up her watch. Finally, this soldier in desperation was so angry that he pulled out his revolver and he stuck it at Mom's head. And he made a motion once again that he wanted that watch. And tomorrow I will tell you what happened.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.